When you think about discipline, I looked up like 5 definitions of discipline. You can just sit right on the front there. And almost all of them had the word train in there in some way, shape, or form. If you look at all the different definitions, they all had the idea of training. So discipline, just in review, has the idea of training. And the first thing I think of when I think of training is lifting weights, because I love lifting weights. Clearly, I'm not doing that right now, but I love lifting weights. And in college, that was my joy. I always ended up chasing a ball, but what I really enjoyed doing was lifting weights. So I brought some today. So Dale, if you don't mind grabbing those weights, and let's find a nice place. For it. How about right up here? So Dale's going to come up here and start doing some curls for us. I noticed you've been getting stronger. So, yeah, there you go. I was just about to say that. He had me in PE, so keep those elbows nice and forward. Yeah, we want it to hurt. Oh, yeah, all the way up. Yeah, there we go. So what is he doing right now? He is training his muscles, right? And he is literally shredding his muscles into little, all the muscles are tearing. Does it hurt? Good. Yeah, it looks like it hurts a little bit. He's trying to smile, but it looks like it hurts. All right, you can take it back down. Thank you. Now, if he were to do that for a long time and I were to really put him through all of the different exercises that I could come up with, then eventually what would happen is he'd be sweating profusely, his muscles would be crying out in pain, he'd be asking for water. Because when we train, it's painful, right? It's not easy, it hurts, and then the muscles have to rebuild after. But that is the key, they rebuild stronger. And discipline is hard. I don't know about you, but for me, discipline is one of the hardest things that I struggle with. I was thinking about that as I was getting ready to talk about discipline. All this talk about discipline, reading through this book, for me, it's convicting. That's what it is for me. It's convicting that there are lots of things in my life that I need to work on. Think about, I would say for most of us, it's probably a struggle. But think about the discipline, when it comes to the discipline of our mind, think about the struggle it is for us. We have to both input the right things into our mind, avoid the bad things, and then capture all of our thoughts. That's a lot of work. So we need to input the right things, avoid the bad things, and then capture all of our thoughts. Do you have 1 Timothy 4:7 up there? Perfect. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So that is the idea of discipline. We have lots of exercising that we need to do. Now, in this book so far, we've been bouncing around a little bit, as Pastor mentioned. But there are really 4 major categories of disciplines that we are studying. The first one is relationship. And underneath relationship, we studied purity. We studied marriage. As Pastor mentioned, we're going to study fatherhood next week. And then we have studied friendships. It's all about the disciplines of relationships, developing deep relationships. And we live in a world that does not have very deep relationships. Especially when it comes to texting and social media, you can't develop deep relationships that way. You have to have that face-to-face contact. You have to share things with one another. I know that's hard for us to do as men, but we have to do that in order to develop deep relationships. So the first category of discipline is relationships. The second one is what we're going to cover today, and that is soul, the disciplines of our soul. And specifically today, we're going to talk about the mind, and there'll be other categories that we talk about in the future. The third discipline is character. And then lastly, ministry. So those are the 4 categories of disciplines. Just to kind of put it into perspective where we are. We've done most of the relationships. Now we're getting into the discipline of the soul. And today we're going to be talking about the mind. Now when you think about the difference between relationships, the discipline of relationships and the discipline of soul, the discipline of relationships is something that's a little bit more visible. Okay, it's something that is more outward. Okay, you're relating with people, you're talking to them, you're developing friendships. It's more of an outward thing, as opposed to the discipline of the mind, which nobody can really see. Nobody knows what you're thinking or what I'm thinking. It's something that's it's much more of an internal battle as opposed to something that is so much more external. Now, when you think about that, they are connected though, because what goes on in here comes out of our mouths. And that is what affects our relationships. So it all starts with our mind, and then everything else is affected from that. So the discipline of the mind is what we will talk about today. Now, think about the areas that we struggle with in our minds. We struggle with, lustful thoughts. We struggle with jealousy, pride, sometimes self-pity, you know, woe is me, why do I have to go through this difficult circumstance? Maybe self-doubt. Oftentimes as men, we don't talk about the fact that we are insecure about things, but we do tend to be insecure. We're afraid that we don't have what it takes. We're afraid that, you know, we can't take care of our family, whatever it might happen to be. Many times we struggle in our minds in the area of fears. Maybe it's the fear of failure. That would be probably one of my biggest fears. Maybe it's fears from previous hurts. Maybe you got hurt, speaking of relationships, maybe you had a friendship and somebody just stabbed you in the back and it's been hard for you to develop deep relationships after that. You know, all of these things affect our mind. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's difficult for you to struggle with envy. So all of us struggle in the area of our minds in different areas. But today we're going to talk about how do we discipline our mind to handle those. Now, I do want to stop for a second. And in the book, he does a fabulous job with this and kind of talk about what our mind is capable of. I did a little research on this, and it was just absolutely fascinating. The things that we are capable of, the things that our minds are capable of. Each brain cell that you have is connected to 10,000 other brain cells, and it sends messages back and forth. Isn't that amazing? Now, when you take that and multiply that by the number of brain cells that we have, which is somewhere between 12 and 14 billion, think about all the connections that are in our mind. Isn't God amazing, the way that he has made us? So we have 10,000, each cell has 10,000 connections to other cells, and then there are 12 to 14 billion cells in our mind. And all of those are sending messages to each other and back and forth and making new connections and putting things together. You know, when you have ideas, it's all working up there. Now, to put this into perspective, this would be like if you took a switchboard to run New York City, okay? So to run all of the phone calls and all the messages going on in New York City, and multiply that by 1,000, it still would not compare to what our mind is capable of. Or another example would be you could take all of the radio stations and all of the television stations in the entire world and all the signals going back and forth currently, and that wouldn't even come close to what our minds are capable of. Isn't that fascinating? Now I understand a little bit why everything gets jammed up there for me sometimes. I don't know if you ever run into that, but I was thinking about all those connections and thought, you ever get to the point where your mind just starts racing like six different directions at once and you're like, oh, what was I thinking about? Maybe that's why I struggle with that. So if that happens to me today, I'll just blame it on my brain cells. Maybe there's a connection missing. Now, I started looking online. I came across this really, really interesting video. It's a guy doing math problems. I'm a math guy, so you'll just have to bear with me. And I get to talk about the mind in church. So it's this guy doing math problems. I'll give you a little context before we put it up there. This is a TED Talk. And what the guy was doing, the first one is he was squaring numbers. And then in the second part of the video, it was a 15-minute video. I cut like 2 minutes out of it. In the second one, what he does is he has these guys up on the stage, and then he gives them a number to put in their calculator, and then they pick, I think it was either a 3 or 4-digit number that they pick to multiply it by, and then he's able to guess some of the answer. So you'll see, it'll make more sense when you see it. So go ahead and play that, Brent.
I'm going to try to square some 3-digit numbers this time. I won't even write these down. I'll just call them out as they're called out to me. Anyone at all, call out a 3-digit number. Anyone on our panel, verify the answer. Now, if I get the answer right, give me a big thumbs up. If I make a mistake, let me know, and I'll try and fix it. A 3-digit number, anyone? 576 is 331,776. Yeah. Yes, good. How about another... How about another 3-digit number? Sir, a 3-digit number?
103.
103 is 10,609. Way too easy. Another 3-digit number. 3-digit number, please.
125.
125 is 15,625, but that's 5 to the 6th power, so that was easy, too. How about another 3-digit number, sir? 985 is 970,225. Yes, thumbs up if it's right. One more 3-digit number, sir? 926. Ooh, 926 is 857,476. Let's take the first number on the board here, 576. Would you each enter 576 on your calculator? And instead of squaring it this time, I'd like you to take that number and multiply it by any four-digit number that you want. But don't make it too easy, like 1,000 or 1234, but just some random four-digit number. So you should have as an answer either a six-digit or possibly a seven-digit number. How many digits are in your answer? Six or seven digits? Seven? Seven? Six. Is there any possible way that I could know what six or seven-digit numbers they have? Say no. Good. Then I shall attempt the impossible, or at least the improbable. What I'd like each of you to do is to call out for me any six of your seven digits, or in your case, five of your six digits, in any order you'd like. One digit at a time, I shall try and determine the digit you've left out. So starting with your six-digit number, call out any five of them, please.
80938.
80938. Did you leave out the number eight? Yes, that's one. You've got a seven-digit number. Called any six of yours loud and clear.
4725 84.
Did you leave out the number six? That's two. The odds of me getting all three of these right by pure guessing would
be one in
1,000.
All right, that's perfect. Thank you, Brent. So I just wanted to show that up. I mean, that is just amazing. Knowing what's going on, a little bit of what's going on behind the scenes, that just blows my mind that he's able to do that. And what he's done is he's trained his mind, he's figured out all the tricks, and to be able to, you know, square three-digit numbers in his head. Now, when you think about our brains, think about your brain, all the things that you can remember. Some of us, I do not put myself in that category, can remember things from when they're like 3 years old. You can vividly recall a time when this happened or this happened. You know, I remember most of mine are centered around when I got hurt. I don't know why that is, you know, the first time I flipped over my handlebars, things like that. But I remember the details and what it felt like flying through the air right before I hit the ground. Our mind can recall facts from years ago. It can make new connections. Did you know that you can remember somewhere in the neighborhood of 28 to 40,000 words? Isn't that amazing? And then you've got Carlos, who does that in two languages, right? So we're able to do all of that. Our mind is able to keep our emotions in check. And then we're able to communicate to God with our minds. We're able to look at his words and think about what he said with the mind that he has given us. We're able to pick up on small details, you know, like in sports. If you're playing football, I was thinking of, you know, Will's over here. You're playing football and you see the guy getting down and you can see how he shifts his weight just a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, so you know which way he's going, okay? We're able to pick up on the smallest detail, or maybe you're watching someone talk and you can pick up, maybe they're nervous about this or that or the other thing. I just figured I'd throw that out there for you. So we're able to pick up on small details. We're able to understand, or at least try to understand, big ideas, like irrational numbers, which in math are numbers that do not end. They go on forever and ever and ever and ever. We're able to try to understand, or at least begin to understand, an all-knowing, all-powerful, omniscient God. And this is all going on in our minds, with the mind that he has given us. Now, the key thought for today, to tie all this together, is that the mind reaches its apex and possibility of possessing the mind of Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is the purpose of what God has given all of this for. That is the key thought for today. The mind potential is reached in the apex in the possibility of possessing the mind of Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's look in our Bibles at 1 Corinthians 2:16. And what an amazing thought to think that we can have the mind of Christ. Now, that's not like we can just go out and get it. We can have the mind of Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Romans 12:1-2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy." I want to stop there for a second, because that really ties into something we're about to talk about. Holy. The word holy has the idea of to be the holy, sanctified, to be set apart. Kind of like a cup, okay? So I have my cup here. I set it apart for drinking water. Now, I do not scoop my dog food with it and then drink from it, right? It is set apart for a purpose. And that's what he's talking about here. We are to be holy, set apart for a purpose. And that purpose, as we're going to learn throughout what we talk about tonight, is to be used of God. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing. That word renewing is the idea of to refresh or to rebuild of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the question I want us to think about now is, how do we avoid being conformed to the world? According to Romans 12, 1 and 2. How do we avoid being conformed to the world? It is by being transformed by the renewing of our mind, okay? So, and that can only happen through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through spending time in God's word. Without discipline, you can have Christians without Christians' minds, without Christian minds. Think about that for a second. Without discipline, you can have Christians that don't have a Christian mindset. But with discipline and through the Holy Spirit, we can possess the mind of Christ. And that is what we have been called to do, to take our minds and to bring our thoughts under subjection to the Holy Spirit and to be used of him. We must guard and discipline the 12 million or 14 million brain cells that God has given to us. Now, why should we guard our minds? You don't have to answer that. I just want us to think about it. Why should we guard our minds? The first reason is because the input, what goes into our minds, affects the output, what comes out of our minds. So what goes in affects what's coming out. It matters. It matters what we put in our minds. It matters what we listen to. It matters what we look at. It matters what we think about. It matters what we meditate on. It is important that we use good discernment in thinking about what we're going to let go into our minds. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." So we must guard our minds. That is one of the most important things that we could talk about tonight, is that we must guard our minds. We must guard it with the scripture. We must guard it by placing barriers around us. For example, okay, so let's say that somebody was struggling with pornography. What do they need to do? They need to make sure that they put barriers between them and that temptation. And now that could be anything, okay? It could be an addiction to anything, any addiction. Then we need to guard ourselves. Maybe you struggle with an addiction to, social media. You know, that is a problem. If we're spending so much time on social media or on our phones and we're neglecting our families, that's an issue, right? So then we have to figure out how do we overcome that. And we guard ourselves, we guard our minds, we guard our times. We take action, okay? One of the most important words we'll talk about tonight is the word intentional. We have to be intentional about what we are doing. So point number one is the divine program. The divine program. I'm going to read a quote from the book. "A Christian mind demands conscious negation. A Christian mind is impossible without the discipline of refusal." Think about that for a second. The Christian mind demands conscious negation. In other words, there's going to be a lot of times where we have to say, no. No, I will not do that. I will not watch that. I will not listen to that. I will not be a part of that. We have to say no. We have to be disciplined to say no. For an illustration, since we're talking about discipline, we'll talk about exercise. Now, I've never really had a problem with exercise. I love exercising. Where I've always struggled was on the other side, which is the food. Okay, so my problem is I love all food. And to truly do well, if you're going to exercise and, you know, get big muscles and all that sort of thing, there has to be the discipline of eating that goes with it, right? And there has to be a lot of times where you say, No, I will not eat that donut. Instead, I'm going to eat this wonderful strawberry. Isn't that awesome? You know, and you have to say no a lot of times in order to get where you need to go. Okay? Now, in discipline, and this concept applies to all the different things that we've talked about, all the relationships, all the character, ministry. In discipline, there are times where we have to say, no, I will not do that. And then there are times when we have to say, yes, I am going to do that, even though right now I don't want to. It's about bringing our emotions into check as well. So a Christian mind demands conscious negation. A Christian mind is impossible without the discipline of refusal. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse number 6. And while you're turning there, I want to share with you an illustration. This illustration comes straight out of the book. But the author was talking about a gentleman named Charles Colson. So this gentleman was a Christian. He sat down with the president of CBS, meaning the TV station. So he sat down with the president of CBS at a meal, and they were talking about television. And he got up the courage, he looked over at the president, and he said, I just want you to know that many Christians are offended by the things that you have on your station. And then they started talking about it. And, Charles was asking this man, why don't you show more good, wholesome family shows? And the president looked back at him and he said, you mean a show like Chariots of Fire? And Charles was like, yes, that's a great show. It's got a good Christian message, which I've never actually seen. I should probably watch the movie. But it's got a great Christian message. And the president looks back at him and goes, well, we just did that a couple weeks ago. And Charles knew he was in trouble right from that moment because the ratings were awful. Nobody watched it. And it was, let me look at my numbers here. It was 57th out of 65 shows for the week. Now, what does that mean? Okay, because there, according to the survey, there are 50 million Christians. And if even half of those Christians had tuned in for that movie, then that movie would have been number one by the longest shot ever. What does that mean? That just means that we as Christians have to be careful because it doesn't look like we're watching good, wholesome shows. Now, it is up to us, okay? It is your individual soul liberty, and it is up between you and God what you watch, just like it's between me and God what I watch. But this does come around to the discipline of the mind. We have to be careful what we're putting in because it affects what's coming out. So I thought that was interesting. And, obviously Charles had to kind of take it back a little bit and say, maybe we need to rethink this. So we must guard our mind because what we watch and what we listen to and what we think about makes a difference. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So what is it this Paul is talking about here? He's talking about the fact that we need to make sure we make good choices for what we think about, what we listen to, and we need to choose things that are going to be uplifting. So I brought something for an illustration here. So I have two cups. You guys are all wondering, what are those cups for? Whoa, that was close. All right, so this cup here has dirt and brook slime. So it's really, really nasty. You guys are looking at me. Now I know what you're talking about, Pastor. Sometimes you look out and you're like, are you with me? It's really, really gross, isn't it? Now this cup is perfectly clean. Okay, so it's a perfectly clean cup. And in here I have nice clean water. I've been drinking out of it a lot because it's really dry up here. Now, what we think about and what we do is important because the input affects the output, right? And we all want to make a difference in this world. That's why we're here at church. That's why we're looking at disciplines of a godly man. We want to make a difference in this world. And in order to make a difference, God has to work through us, right? If we're going to be a part of what God is doing, then he has to work through us. And in order to work through us, we need to be clean vessels. That's why it makes a difference whether or not we've got this or we've got this going on. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, okay? But we need to make sure that we are in the Holy, in the power of the Holy Spirit, living as clean a vessel as we can. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared for unto every good work." So if I take this water and I pour it into here, and I take this water and pour it into here, I don't even need to ask the question, which one do you want to drink from? Obviously, the answer is obvious. And which one is God going to be able to use? Okay, it's the clean, I need to find a good place to put this. It's the clean vessel. So it's important, thank you, Pastor Derek. It's important that we take care of our vessels. And the whole purpose is not so that we can, oh, look how clean I am, or look how holy I am. It's not about that. The whole purpose is so that we can make a difference in this world for God, so that we can be a part of what he is doing. You know, in experiencing God, we're talking about God is working and how we want to be a part of that. And that's what it all, that's what it's all about. It's about being a clean vessel for him. One of the areas that I've been doing a lot of study on is the effect of media on the mind. And this is because I am now teaching kids who have grown up in a day and age where from a very early age they were playing on phones and iPads and Kindles and on the computer. And it is affecting their minds. I teach algebra, so I've seen a difference in the last 8 years on the effect of playing on these devices. So I started doing a little research, and the numbers are very, very interesting. And I just share this with you so that we can all be aware of it. The average American between the ages of 6 and 18, so from 6 to 18 over those 12 years, spends 15 to 16,000 hours watching television. That's more time than they actually spend in school, to put it into perspective. The average 21-year-old has seen about 1 million commercials. Can you imagine 1 million commercials by the time they're 21? The average adult, okay, so now we're talking about all of us, spends about 2 hours a day on social media and 5 hours a day on their phone, while teenagers are spending significantly more time. It's about 8 to 9 hours a day on their phone. And what kind of effect does this have on us? It can have a big effect because it all ties back to what is going in our mind. And it's important that we think about what is going in our mind. Now, I want to make sure I don't come across in this moment as judgmental or anything like that. I struggle with being on my phone too much, probably like most of us. What I'm saying is that we must be disciplined about this. We have to be disciplined about it. And we also need to be aware of it. You know, many of us have young children. I need to be careful that my children aren't spending too much time on their phones or on their tablets or watching television so that they can develop their minds. And also so that I can make sure that they have good things going in their minds. Those of you with young children, you've probably experienced this. Your children say something, and you're like, where did you learn that? They probably learned it watching RoboCar Paul Lee. Nobody in the room knows RoboCar. Who knows RoboCar Paul Lee? Nobody? Nobody has watched RoboCar Paul Lee except for me. Obviously, James, those of you that know James, he loves cars. So RoboCar Paul Lee, all of you need to go home and watch that, okay? But seriously, we have to be careful about what is going into our mind. We must be intentional. Again, that is the key word. We must be intentional about our inputs. I'm not saying that we should not watch TV. I'm not saying we shouldn't use a phone. I'm just saying that we should be intentional about how we use it and how often we use it and what we use it for. Matthew 5:29 says, "If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Now that I'm not saying that you need to pluck out your eyes, okay? But what I am saying is that if there is something that you are struggling with or there is something that I am struggling with, it is okay to take do something radical to deal with it. You know, if one of us is struggling with an addiction, then we should remove everything that's going to take us down that path from our lives. Psalm 101, 2, verses 2 and 3 says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And then Hebrews 12:1 says, Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This affects how we run our Christian race. And I don't have time for it, but I was going to have a very young man and a man with more years on him come up here and put the weights on, and I was going to tie up his ankles and make them race across for a candy bar. Just to point out the fact that when you have sin tangling around you and when you're carrying weights, it's hard to run the race. And what this verse is calling us to is to rip off the sin that has beset us, that is wrapped around us, and to throw off the weights, whatever it might be, the burdens that you're carrying, the fears, the mental things that are dragging you down, to throw those off and to start practicing the discipline of the mind to run our race, to get rid of those things that are slowing us down. Now, what does it take to do that? It takes intentional programming. And this is the shortest part, so this will not take us too long to go through. First point under intentional programming is Scripture. We need to be regularly in God's Word. And my challenge to you is to do what works for you, whatever it is. If it's a few verses a day, if it's longer sections every couple days, if it's doing it on a YouVersion on your phone, find what works for you and run with it. There's a story in the book about General Harrison from World War II. And he was one of the most decorated men coming out of World War II. And he read his Bible through the Old Testament once a year and the New Testament four times a year, every year for about 70 years. Even during the war, what he would do is whenever he had a break, he would get caught up. And the men and women that knew him said that his life was permeated by Scripture. It was just, he just oozed out of him because of that discipline. He had that discipline in his life, and the result was it changed him. Now, I'm not saying that that's what we should all do, but what I am saying is that we should be disciplined about reading God's Word. And if we do, when we look back in 10 years, we will be different because of the discipline that we have put into it and what we have been putting into our minds. It is achievable. We should not be legalist about it, but it is achievable for us to all spend time regularly in God's Word. Psalm 119, 97, verse 97 through 100 says this, How I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. There we go. Though through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for my testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because of thy precepts. It is important that we spend time in God's Word and develop that longing and that love for it. For some of us, audio is the way to go. I looked it up. It takes about 72 hours, depending on who you're listening to listen through the Bible. That means that in 12 hours a day, you could listen through the whole Bible. Not 12 hours, 12 minutes. 12 minutes a day. That would be really bad math. So 12 minutes a day, and you'd be able to listen through the entire Bible. We must fight the good fight. We must push through when it comes to the discipline of the mind. Another area would be Christian literature. And there are four or five appendixes in the back of the discipline of a godly man, disciplines of godly men in the back of our book. And that those appendix have lots of good things you can read. Books like Mere Christianity, Live Lighter, Love Better, that's not in there, but that is a good one. Five Love Languages, Love and Respect, Pilgrim's Progress, My Utmost for His Highest, Experiencing God, which we're going through, The Pursuit of God, Good Christian Biographies. My challenge to you would be this. Don't think that you've got to go out and go like Hulk style on reading God's Word or reading Christian literature. Just take a small chunk. You know, maybe read two books, find two good books, and read them through in a year. Just those little things will change our minds and therefore change our lives. So, to wrap it all up, it's the discipline of the mind. And discipline is training. It's lifting the spiritual weights to make sure that we are putting the right things in our mind. Our mind is the God-given resource that he's given to us to make a difference in this world. And we must guard it with all of our heart and with all of our minds. The last verse that I want to look at, and I'm glad I had this in there since Lance set me up, was 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations in everything, in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How are you going to guard, steward, and make a difference with your 12 billion brain cells?